Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us now, once a St. Aug Purple Knight, always a St. Aug Purple Knight. You see him on television for ESPN. Out at night, Mr. Stan Verrett. Stan, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, Bobby and Mike, good to be on with you. How about them Purple Knights knocking off CE Bird first round of the playoffs last week? They're rolling on. They got a tough one coming up against Romelu, I understand. So,
oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But listen, you got that first W, so it takes one to get two. You know what I mean? You got to get the first one before you can get the second one. Stan, before we talk about the Saints, a little bit about LSU, and, you know, there was a lot of perception kind of nationwide that, you know, man, they settled for Ed Orgeron as the head coach, and they had a lot of not only local writers but national people felt that way because of the fact they had been in talks with Jimbo Fisher. They had talked to Tom Herman, and now look at what has happened in a short time frame. You know, Coach O, I don't know that this would have all worked maybe somewhere else, but he was the right fit, the right man at LSU, and the results showed out on the field.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think Coach O understands his strengths, which are recruiting and relating to folks in Louisiana.
Right.
Specifically, okay? Those were his two big strengths into this job. So the other things, in terms of revolutionizing the NFL offense, the LSU offense, he turned to Joe Brady, brought him on staff with Steve Hensminger. He did a great job with that. Let Dave Aranda coach the defense, and then he runs the program. So I think it's his experience over time as a head coach, as an assistant, as a recruiter. He understood what his strengths were and brought those things to this position. And then the things where he knew he needed help, he delegated them out to the right people, and that's why you're seeing the success that the Tigers are having.
Stan, one of the things, him and I talked in December of last year, and he told me, listen, we're going to go to the spread offense. And it was Steve's idea for Joe Brady because Pete Carmichael and Joe had went and, you know, kind of worked with the LSU staff on certain schemes offensively. And Steve was really impressed with Joe Brady. And so, you know, you think about it, you talk about the odd couple, man, Steve's 62 years old, Joe's 30 years old, and how seamlessly that has worked. And, you know, they put those egos aside and got it done in an offense that we have never seen at LSU.
I mean, that's exactly the point, Bobby. Ego was the thing. If there's no egos, it's all invested in winning. And I think that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And it's a credit to everybody with the program, but particularly those two guys, that it doesn't matter who gets the credit, doesn't matter who gets the limelight. All that matters is that they put an offense on the field that can score points, and they've done that. And, you know, you see the results.
Now, you know, Stan, sticking on the LSU topic, and, you know, you want to have the right coach, right place, right time. But I think they kind of screwed the pooch, that being the USC Trojans, and how Coach O really wanted to be there, considering the interim head coach, you have success, he wanted to turn the program around, and they got a little too fancy pants, so to speak, and not necessarily wanting to go with Coach O. Boy, now the proof's in the pudding that obviously was the wrong decision.
Well, you know, I think what you said earlier, LSU is the right fit for Coach O. I mean, the people love him. He loves the state. The kids relate to him very well. They play hard for him. They like him. I mean, that's the right fit. Sometimes home is just home, and it's the right fit. And I think that's what we're finding, and it's leading to success on a national level because he's in the right place at home.
Bob? Now, you know, Stan, looking at the Saints now, were you a little worried considering, you know, it does matter when you play a team. We got Marshawn Lattimore, our top cornerback's not available, and you're going against the best duo of cornerbacks, receivers arguably, when you look, Michael Evans and Chris Godwin and who's available. That's what I was most impressed with. I said, I'm giving a game ball to the whole Saints secondary. Then Andrews P's not available. Then you got Adamakin Sue. You got Vita Vey in the middle. And then you look at Nick Easton and the job that he did. Boy, it's amazing when I look at the Saints' depth and how they didn't miss a beat. You're going to have adversity, and it's hard to stay focused for a whole season. I look at Atlanta. They kind of turned the corner. Atlanta was way better than 1-7. I think they have 500-type team based on what they did against the Saints and the Carolina Panthers. But I'm just looking at within the division and what the Saints did on the road. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed how Sean Payton and the leaders of this team were able to handle that adversity with that loss against Atlanta to bounce back.
Yeah, I was particularly worried about Mike Evans because after the game last time and then no Lattimore, I'm like, man, this guy is going to be chomping at the bit to put up some big numbers. But P.J. Williams did a great job. I mean, I think the Saints were smart to put his size on Evans, and it worked out great, ending with that interception late in the game that helped to seal it. So, I mean, they, the coaching staff is just, I mean, they haven't really missed a beat. I mean, you know, the Atlanta game notwithstanding. I mean, if you think about with Breeze going down earlier in the season and how they were able to incorporate Teddy Bridgewater into the offense and then, you know, it's been a masterful coaching job by Sean Payton and the staff. I was really worried about this game. I mean, but somebody made a good point that the Atlanta loss might have taken this game out of that trap game territory.
Yep, I agree.
You know?
Stan, one of the things.
This could have been a real trap game without that loss last week.
One of the things you watch with the Saints play, and I saw it, you know, when Jerry Rice was in San Francisco, or Calvin Johnson with Detroit, is that you know they're going to throw the football to Michael Thomas, and they can't stop it. I mean, you know, you talk about very good players and great players. Man, when they're going to go to you and you can't stop it, to me that's the mark of a great player, and that's what you got in Michael Thomas.
You know, every week I do a segment with Keyshawn on Thursday nights after Thursday Night Football with Keyshawn Johnson, and Mike Thomas is his nephew.
Right.
And so when the Saints drafted him, I asked Keyshawn, I said, so what the Saints get? I know it's your nephew. He said, they're getting a better version of Marcus Colston. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, man.
Right.
That's saying a whole lot. He was like, just watch and see. And, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you watch some of the – he just knows how to get open. And if he gets a target, that target becomes a catch. And I mean, it's just phenomenal. And if you think about it, he hasn't had, you know, a 200-yard, 3-touchdown game yet. He's just been consistently performing week in and week out.
Now, you know, Stan, looking at to me, this is like 1 and 1A, the best of the best. I'm looking at Alvin Kamara. Looks like he's healthy now. He had 154 total yards, considering Tampa Bay had the number one rush defense. He was still able to get 75 yards rushing, 6 yard average per carry, 10 targets, 10 receptions, right at 5 yards. So just, you know, it shows you that trust factor with Drew. And then Deontay Harris being out, he also had, 32 yards returning in the punt return game, 11-yard average. But the reason why I bring that up, this is a game, if you just like top-notch skilled players, how can you not want to watch Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey with the Panthers? Even though they got smoked by Atlanta, he still finished with 191 yards from scrimmage. We all have talked about him being up for the MVP, type of individual award. But I've been surprised this year, a guy like Christian McCaffrey, how much a beating he could take and how much they give him the ball between the tackles as a pure running back. So I'm thinking you're looking at 1 and 1A. We love Alvin Kamara, but Christian McCaffrey's a flat-out stud.
Yeah, I think Todd Gurley was in that same category as well, but he hasn't been having that kind of season. He's been kind of dealing with injuries. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, those guys are just skill position players who can do it all. I remember when the running back who played with Deuce at Mississippi, I can't think of his name right now, but he was the other running back with Deuce at Mississippi, and then he went to the NFL, and they said his position was offensive weapon. He was more than running back, more than a receiver. His position was offensive weapon. And
was it Dexter? Was it Dexter McCluster?
Dexter McCluster, exactly. His position. I think he was with the Chiefs.
And, yes,
and they asked
yes.
His position, and he said his position was offensive weapon. And so that's kind of what these guys have become. I mean, and it makes sense if you have a guy who has the durability to run between the tackles, but can also make plays in open space. He just want to get the ball in his hands. You know, and Kamara, I mean, what surprised me most about him is his durability and his ability to run between the tackles. I mean, I thought he was, when he first got here, I thought he was more of a third down back. But, you know, he's an all-around feature back.
No, that he can carry the load at that size. Because we think of guys that can carry the football 20, 25, 30 times on touches aren't built like what Alvin and Christian are. They're much bigger guys. It goes to show you that not everything is the same in this league, that there are variations of how those guys do it. And I do think the game is built today, Stan, and being able to use guys at that short pass is like an extended handoff. You know, it's not a real long pass, but it's almost like an extended handoff to get them those touches, to be out in the flat where – You're not taking a lot of that beating in between the tackles.
Yeah, look, Kamara, if you notice, Kamara's balance and his body control, you don't see a lot of big, hard shots on him. I mean, he's able to kind of dip and dive and slither through holes and turn his body in ways that guys don't get really big shots at him, you know, and that, you know, adds his durability too. And his balance is just uncanny. He's like a cat with his balance. I mean, it's hard to knock him off his route when he starts running.
Stan, thanks so much for your time tonight, bro. We really appreciate it, man. Enjoy what you're doing at ESPN. Doing a great job, and we watch you, you know, as much as we can.
Yeah, representing the Purple Knights.
Representing Louisiana, brother. Representing Louisiana.
Stan, we appreciate
all right, fellas.
You.
Thanks All a right. lot. Stan
always,
Barrett.
Always good being on with y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.